I'm speaking today with Vince Ryan, who is candidate for county attorney in Harris County. Vince, normally I ask people first why they're running, but before we get into that, what exactly is it that the county attorney does? Can you talk a little bit about that?
The county attorney is strictly the civil attorney for Harris County government. Only two counties in Texas have county attorneys who are strictly civil attorneys, Harris County and Fort Bend County. Harris County now for over 40 years has had a county attorney who does strictly civil work for all of county government. And as such, is key in the checks and balance system of county government.
Okay. So with that said, why are you running for county attorney?
Well, one, in the 1980s, I was for 7 years in the county attorney's office, 4.5 as the first assistant county attorney, the chief county attorney, reporting directly to the county attorney, Mike Driscoll, who's the honorary chair of my campaign. And it was a great place to work. In fact, I tell people until I met my wife in 1993 when I was beginning my run for county judge for 1994, I regretted virtually every day I left the county attorney's office as first assistant and went to be a Houston City Council member. Because in the county system, the county attorney is one of the key offices, and the first assistant county attorney working for a great county attorney like I did can get a lot of things accomplished in that system, even if they don't have anything directly to do with the county attorney's office. If someone would ask me about a stop sign they need up out in the county, I could pick up the telephone and call the road superintendent of that precinct, and if it made sense for that stop sign to go up, stop sign went up. At City Hall, it was almost impossible to get stop signs up, even if people were killed at that intersection.
All right. Now, like I said, the county attorney generally isn't in the news very much, although there's been a couple of high-profile cases that we'll talk about in a minute. What's your vision for the county attorney's office? What do you want to see done with it? What is it doing that you want to see it do more of or not do?
Right now, because of what we're seeing in the newspapers about the county, that is the tip. We're seeing the tips of icebergs. We're not seeing the full story. I've had people from the sheriff's department, from the county attorney's office, from other departments of county government tell me that the kinds of scandals we've been seeing are, again, just the tips of the icebergs. And the county attorney, being, again, the attorney for virtually all of county government, is a key in finding out what really went on, what is really going on, and what should be done about it. In some cases, things have not progressed to the level that the criminal side is invoked, but hopefully Clarence Bradford will be elected district attorney. Hopefully Adrian Garcia will be elected sheriff. Hopefully we'll have a new county judge. I think a district clerk who, interesting enough, has a part to play in the checks and balances too, even on these kinds of scandals we see. Diane Troutman, the tax assessor collector. If we bring in a new team, we become the ethics committee that the current county judge tried to set up, something that looked like an ethics committee, but all they were unpaid advisors with no authority. The elected officials and the appointed officials of county government are the ethics committee. So what I hope to do with the county attorney's office is help my colleagues, none of whom have served in county government, to hit the ground running and very quickly delve into the problems in county government and resolve them. And if those resolutions take civil action, that's what my office will do. If it takes criminal action, that's what I think Bradford is prepared to do. If it takes some sort of joint effort, he and I have already talked about doing that, and even setting up a team, a couple district attorneys, a couple civil attorneys from the county attorney's office with some support staff, that focus solely on ethics and how the ethics need to be implemented across the county.
So you see the county attorney as playing an investigative role?
In fact, the county attorney does have a staff of investigators, but the county attorney is very often, when I was there 20 years ago, involved in investigating matters. When County Commissioner Bob Eccles was thought to have taken a wedding present driveway.
And this is Eccles Sr., the father of the previous county judge.
Is we in the county attorney's office were told that it was a lot more than just a wedding present driveway, that it was a mile and a half long road. We sent investigators to check that out. We then, through one of our assistants, Terry O'Rourke, knew that if we could get the records of Durwood Green Construction, that we could very possibly find out a lot more. Commissioners, for whatever reasons, didn't want to give us a couple auditors, even though we had the records. But under, we worked with Attorney General Jim Max's office, we were to seize the records. We then got a couple auditors coming from the city controller's office. Lance Layler was then the controller. And we had a team put together that could analyze those records, and it turned out that it was pretty clear to us that this mile and a half long road was bribed. And we presented that information to the district attorney's office and helped them in their preparation for the prosecution of the case, to include me testifying as to what the law was, the civil law, in the criminal trial. So that's one of the more dramatic examples of what can go on, but certainly over the last decade and more has not gone on at all. I think what we see about the Abetta case, the case that Lloyd Kelly brought, classic example of how county government's checks and balances are broken down.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, in the ruling that the district court judge made in favor of, or I should say, when he signed off on the settlement agreement, and before that, he was critical of the county attorney's office for the amount of resources they spent on that case, for the lengths to which they pursued appeals and just dragged out the process. I mean, that lawsuit took, what, 3 years, more than that, to resolve?
Originally, he removed them from the case, the whole office, and especially the two attorneys at the lead office, and his long, very long order removing the county attorney's office, which later he let the county attorney's office be involved in the case, but the two attorneys not, is the strongest order I've ever read in my life by a judge, in which he accuses the office and the two attorneys of everything short of suborning, running perjury.
Now,
of course, you find the two attorneys $10,000, which the county attorney's office is now appealing, even though the county was going to pay it.
Right, and I believe they were supposed to be responsible for paying it themselves. And the, anyway, I guess, you know, since the county attorney is, in a sense, the attorney for Harris County.
Not in a sense that the county attorney is the judge.
Well, what I mean by that is, you know, in some sense that would have made Sheriff Tommy Thomas the client in this case.
No question.
So, you know, would you say that in this particular case of the Ibarra Brothers lawsuit, was the county attorney essentially doing what the client asked, or was this his own initiative?
Well, as I say on my in my campaign literature, my website, and as I say when I speak to people, the clients of the county attorney's office are the people of Harris County. The representatives who are elected by those people are also clients. But the interest of the people themselves, the law which governs the county government and the various officials, which is enacted by the state legislature or the Constitution, or in some cases guided by federal law, that's the guideline. Not what the client, meaning the elected or appointed official, wants. It's if it fits the law. And again, my motto is of service to all according to law. So that's what's been lacking, in my view, at the county government for quite a while, both from the civil county attorney's office and the criminal district attorney's office. In the Ibarra case, from what I'm being told, now I have not had the resources to investigate many of the things I've been told about, but for instance, I've not seen it. The former DA, one of the allegations against him, which apparently was correct, was that his assistant was dramatically overpaid and had a county car for some reason, although she was basically a glorified secretary. The interim DA lowered her salary and she quit and took away the car, might add. Has anybody asked, I don't think so, but has anybody asked the former DA, he doesn't just get to walk away, has anybody just asked the former DA, what was the justification for her salary? What was the justification for the county car? Because you cannot give a gift of public resources for private purposes. And that's, there's a lot of gray in that, but those questions have to be asked on a constant basis. Now, most of the time, when I was there, it would be done privately, well in advance of things becoming headlines. And if that's going on, you don't get to the point that we've seen with the sheriff's department, that we've seen with the district attorney's office. There are times when the county attorney would say to the district attorney, are you sure you can do that? There are times when the district attorney might say to the county attorney, are you sure you can do that? Many times, each of those offices will say to other elected and appointed officials of the county government, are you sure you can do that? For instance, there's a county auditor. I have yet to find one person. County auditor is appointed by the district judges, another checks and balances. If you go to her website, she in essence says, when she talks about checks and balances, a very good explanation of checks and balances for county government on her website. In essence, she says, once the commissioner's court passes the budget, they become partners in the distribution of those funds, meaning if they're legal, if they're appropriate as under law. When I say legal, I mean both civil and criminal. If it's legal, the county auditor makes sure that those things are legal and then disperses the funds. There's a county treasurer actually issues the checks. One can argue county treasurer, if both the auditor and the county commissioners are wrong about their expenditure, he can refuse or she could refuse to issue the check. So all these checks and balances are there for a reason. And I often tell people, if you look at the contrast with the city of Houston government, which now Mayor White actually says in public is the strongest strong mayor form in the country, right across downtown you have the opposite kind of local government, almost the extreme opposite kind, this very, very intricate system of checks and balances. When it works very, very well. City of Houston, in my opinion, doesn't ever work well, no matter how good the mayor is.
Okay. You know, talking about the former district attorney for a second, you know, given that, you know, all these things have come out and, you know, he's resigned in disgrace, is it worth it to pursue, you know, the matter that you asked, is that more of an example of the sort of thing?
That's more of an example of things. I think it is probably appropriate that new office holders will ask certain questions to see, was that the only thing? As far as we know, is the only thing. The only thing is probably best, let's look to the future, let's not look at the past. But I have no assurance, and if you listen to the stories again, anecdotal stories told to me by people in the system, at the sheriff's department, the county attorney's office, even some at the district attorney's office, it might not be anecdotal. It may not have been the only circumstance. We still haven't, I understand Wayne Dochefino got all the emails from Tommy Thomas. Who knows what those emails were? Email is a whole new area, but there ought to be very, very clear guidelines at the county as to the use of the county system for emails.
Well, and again, since you brought that up, of course, the other story for which the county attorney has been in the news is related to the matter of the sheriff and his recently implemented policy of deleting emails that were more than, I forget what, 2 weeks old, 10 days old, 2 weeks old.
I think now, as I understand, they reversed that.
Well,
that was a policy.
In fact, I believe Channel 13 sued over that, but what came out was that the county attorney had signed off on this policy before the sheriff implemented it. What's your take on that?
I think at the very best he signed off too quickly, and the very worst is the county attorney is a nice enough person, but as I tell people, and to dramatize the difference between he and I, is people like different kinds of pets. A lot of people like lap dogs, little dogs that sit in your lap and are real nice and you can carry around with you. But what the county needs, and what the system of checks and balances the county needs, are watchdogs. Dogs that will guard the house and attack somebody who is in some way desecrating the house or the system or attacking somebody in the house. I, for instance, have a Doberman, Pincher at home. My kids call him a Dober dog, call her. And dramatically different kind of dog. I've been out walking blocks and leafleting, leaving my flyer at different houses. I even had a lap dog walk. Most of them will bark, but you can tell right away that they're little dogs. And sure, you don't want them nipping at your heels, but most of the time they just sit in your lap and they're very, very nice. I had this one lap dog walk up to the window next to the door, just look at me, never did bark. And I thought to myself, my opponent is really more like that lap dog, one that doesn't even bark.
All right. You are, I think, the only Democrat on the slate of countywide executive offices who has run for countywide office before. You ran for county judge in
1994, the year some young guy thought just because his daddy used to be president, he could beat Ann Richards for governor.
Right. You know, what did you learn from that experience, and how do you, and how has running for countywide office in 2008 differed from 1994?
I learned that you can have, unlike say running for a district council seat, where an individual candidate in a nonpartisan race can make a great difference in his or her own race. Citywide is a little bit tougher. You need more money. You need more in the way of pizzazz. But with a lot of money, you can do a very good job at a citywide nonpartisan race. What I learned in 1994 was what we all knew. We were all told that year you need to run within 50,000 votes of Ann Richards because of the drop off from the top of the ballot. People would just vote for governor but don't vote down ballot or don't punch the big D or the big R as the case may be. And you're going to win. I raised and spent, as I remember, $900,000, which would be $3 million a day. And my strategy worked perfectly. I ran 28,000 votes behind Ann Richards, but she lost the county by 50,000 votes. So this time, interesting, I'm having almost impossible time to raise money because of the people at the county know me, and they know that I will be a watchdog. And quite frankly, one of the reasons you don't see anybody, the traditional givers for local government are contractors, developers, architects, engineers, bond counsel, lawyers, people who provide the services the county government needs or city government for that. And you don't see any of the Democratic candidates getting that money. You see us getting money from friends, from non-traditional sources, as I call them. And for me, it's been especially hard because a lot of people don't even understand what a county attorney does. And but with that said, it's we live and die atop the ticket. And one of the things I'm working on very, very hard is you've seen these stories about the number of unregistered but eligible voters in this county. I've been, and also the voter suppression has been going on, meaning doing the current administration of county government has been doing things to discourage voting, to discourage people registering, despite what they say. We have the lowest voter registration of any urban county in Texas, probably among the lowest in the country. We have maybe as many as 1 million eligible but unregistered voters. So I've been working very hard and trying to raise the money. And it's, you can register voters and get them out to vote in a nonpartisan, nonprofit manner. You don't ask them how they're going to vote. You just, if you do your demographics right, if you know who you're talking to, you have a pretty good sense of who's going to vote for whom, especially at the top of the ticket. And you encourage them to vote all the way down the ballot, either straight ticket or that we've got the better candidates. So I've been working very, very hard on trying to encourage those with a lot of money to look at these programs so we can energize. And I've never seen the energy, I might add, in the Democratic Party as I'm seeing right now. The activity going on, the enthusiasm going on, the organization to a great extent. 1994, it was after decades of the Democrats winning everything. We fought. I was the president of something called Moderate Democrats. It was formed so that Moderate Democrats had some place to go rather than Harris County Democrats, which were a very, very liberal organization. Well, that came home to roost when Ann Richards slowly burned and crashed in 1994. So I think if we added 150,000 more Democratic-leaning voters on Election Day or by Election Day, we Democrats win across the board regardless of what happens at the top of the ticket. But if we don't, with the current voter demographics, meaning the people registered to vote, which includes a large number, maybe as many as 300,000 of the más o menos 2 million people who are registered, 300,000 have moved from where they registered, which means if they don't do the proper steps, if they go to their nearest precinct, but they're not registered in that precinct, they can vote, but they've got to go to the precinct in which they're registered. Now, many of those people are working people who will go either first thing in the morning or go last thing when they get home. And many won't go, especially if they move very far from the other precinct, won't go and vote. So, to me, that's critical that we have a very, very high-level effort at registration to get out to vote and not rely upon the enthusiasm we've seen and the tremendous turnout we saw in the primary. Because the primary was a very unusual thing. I do think we've got a lot of young voters that are very energized. But with that said, why take any chances? And it's, to me, it's the first duty of government anyway, is to enfranchise voters. Make sure voters are able to vote, both by making sure they're registered, by making sure they know where they do go vote, when they can start voting, what steps they've got to take to get registered, what do they have to do to go vote. And if we don't do that, if government doesn't do that, they're abdicating one of their primary responsibilities, whether it's the city government, whether it's the county government, which has the direct responsibility for it, or whether it's any level of government. And right now in Harris County, the Republicans who are in office have had every reason not to do that, especially with the relatively dramatic change in demographics in Harris County.
Okay. Now, you yourself have been in the news as well. You're suing one of your former employers. I know you can't comment on pending litigation, but there was also a Houston Press cover story about your time with the Leinberger Goggin firm. I was wondering if you had any comment about the story that the press wrote.
Actually, I can give you a copy of the petition if you wanted it, because that is a public document, and it says most of the story. Unfortunately, the writer for the Houston Press either did not want to, nor did he care to understand both the causes of action I'm pleading or the sequence of events as they occurred, as they are laid out in the petition.
All right. Fair enough.
It's not diplomatic, as I can say that.
Well, like I said,
I see a copy of the petition. When you start off the machine, I'll tell you a little anecdote. It's a little complicated, but that's probably where I will leave that.
Okay. When voters go to the polls this November and they make their way down the ballot, the county attorney's race, how do you want them to think about this race?
That it's one of the most important races on the ballot. That in many ways, on a day-to-day basis, it's even more important than the district attorney, because the day-to-day workings of county government, the county attorney is a part of that. The district attorney is a very important office, and I hope we're going to have some significant changes in our criminal justice system. I'm going to help the new district attorney in doing that, help who I hope will be the new sheriff in doing that. But on the day-to-day working, the delivery of services to the citizens, whether it's flood control, building of roads, providing of child protection services, providing of the whole wide range of parks, whatever goes on in county government, virtually every aspect of that is the county attorney's office is involved in and ought to be involved in as an independent elected official responsible to the people of Harris County primarily, and secondarily looking to the interest of the elected and appointed officials who are also of the servants of the people of Harris County. And that's the big difference, is right now, I don't think that's going on. I think the current elected officials, especially my opponent, look first to the thinking the client or the other elected and appointed officials, not the people themselves.
Anything you'd like to add?
VoteVinceRyan.com. You can go and read on my website a little bit more about me if you want to.
All right, Vince Ryan, thank you very much.
There.
Thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.